you will survive if you apply doctrine. Read your Bibles, pray, and associate with people as best you can that love the Lord and love His Word and are edifying. But that's always true. All right, let's wrap up the two verses we start working on first session, which, by the way, was a pretty good class, if I say so myself. I have a feeling from time to time, boy, I really nailed it today. No, okay. And then other times, and then someone will come up and say, and I don't think people are phoning, that was really good. Were you in the same place I was in? Okay. It's human nature. All right. Okay, let's note here, I already knew this, but it's really good to hear it in a different form, in a different format, and a different terminology. Let's put it that way. Now, what I'm talking about is the concept of the doctrine that, in spite of Israel's long, terrible history of unbelief, they're still the chosen people. And so, the way Paul set this up is, of course, he's inspired of God, and the way he sets this up is, to me, was stimulating. Took a minute to get my head wrapped around it, because there are two elections. There's the one related to salvation. We understand what that is, hopefully. We are the elect of God. It's one of the titles for believers. From eternity past, we're the elect of God. And this has been explained as based on God's foreknowledge. He knew who would believe and who wouldn't. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. If he just, oh, well, that person's a believer, huh? He knows, everybody knows the end from the beginning. There's nothing hidden from him. He doesn't learn anything. He doesn't forget anything. It's all before him as if it was just fresh right now. So, that's that election. Yes, we still had to come into the world. We had to be born. We had to be called, evangelized, and believe. That's all in the Romans 8 section, those verses that deal with that. Now, from the standpoint of the gospel, take the gospel message. You know what it is. It's the good news of salvation, how to be saved, how to gain immortality, have the gift of eternal life given to you so you can live forever under perfect conditions, and all the attendant things that go with that. The gospel, the best news anyone could ever possibly hear, bar none. Nothing's in the same category. There's good news, and this is the ultimate good news, that a person can come into their hearing. Is all you got to do is believe in this Jesus Christ, who took your place and bore the wrath for your sins, so that if you believe in him, God will give you the salvation, eternal salvation, right then and there. You don't have to do anything else. You don't even have to raise your hand, walk an aisle, do anything. Tell someone else you believed. It's a good thing to do that, but you don't have to do tell someone you believe. That's it. As I told you in the past, I was in a church where I don't really think they had a lot of confidence, because they wanted a show. They want someone to raise their hand, walk an aisle. Are you really saved? What do you mean, really saved? You know, are you really in this room? Yes, you're really in this room, as much as the next person. Not any less. So there was never this. Here it is. Here's the gospel. You can believe now. You can believe later. Here it is. We have no gimmicks. We're not going to play with your emotions. Well, yeah, we're going to tell you the hard fact. If you don't believe, where you're going to end up. You're going to end up under distress and anguish 24/7, every second, every moment, with zero hope. Even people in bad places have some kind of hope that maybe they'll get released. Maybe something will happen. Positive. But there's nothing positive in hell or the lake of fire. Nothing. You want to sidestep that? You believe in Jesus Christ. Or you harden your heart like so many Jews have done all through time. So from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Circle "for your sake" in your mind. For your sake means you Gentiles. As a result of them becoming enemies of the gospel, something Abraham wasn't for sure, and a bunch of them down the road were not enemies of the gospel. For your sake, you Gentiles. You Gentiles are the ones that now got a promotion. You could always be saved as a Gentile out there in the world. We have examples in the Old Testament of Gentile salvation. Salvation isn't restricted to any race. So, for your sake means you now, as illustrated by the Roman Christians, when Paul wrote this in the 50s AD. You Roman Christians, you just got a big promotion. You are now the chosen people. You're the active chosen people. The Jews are the chosen people, but they aren't active, aside from individuals that become believers. But from the standpoint of, and I corrected the translation here, but from the standpoint of the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Now, you notice the parallelism in the verses before we leave them one more time. You have from the standpoint of the gospel, and you have from the standpoint of the election. And then you have parallel, they are enemies, and then the second one, they are beloved. Two opposite things, right? And then you have for your sake, parallel to for the sake of the fathers. That's the way this is structured out. So, what we ended up with was that the Jews, that an Israelite, has two elections. The first election is God chose a race to bring the Messiah into the world, etc. And so the sake of the fathers refers to the founding fathers. The founding fathers of the Hebrew race. They stand out. Back in the chapter, that's the rich root of the olive tree, which we draw upon all of that, or whether we're Jews or believers or Gentiles. Branches broken off, well, that's unbelievers, and so forth. But we've dropped that thing for now. Okay. So, as noted in the preceding class, they remain the special people of God in spite of their gross disobedience and their maladjustment to the basic, the core, the thing that gets you in, the gospel. They are still the chosen people. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to the individual Jew. He cannot take comfort really in it, because it doesn't get him anywhere with God. It doesn't. He's just, you know, a useful person. All the generations down to the present time of unbelieving Jews under Judaism and whatever else they're doing, all these unbelieving Jews coming, they're still the chosen race. They've just been put on hold. They've been quarantined, or whatever you want to call it, from being the upfront representatives of God. For your sake, the Gentiles have stepped into that and filled that slot. This basic understanding of things. Because there are elements within Christendom that have said God's through with them all together, and none of this stuff about the Abrahamic covenant as we take it It's all spiritualized and all fulfilled in the church. Wrong. They are dead wrong. They think too highly of themselves. Another thing it causes some evangelicals, perhaps, I think that part of that background was they returned to the land in unbelief. That doesn't mean anything. Really. Then they overruled God. God said in captivity, if you call on me and turn away from whatever got you out here and repent of it and do what you need to do, I'll get you back. We have one example of that. But the second return, the one that we have been witnessing here in the 20th century up to this point, that one is prophesied as, I'm going to do this in spite of you. I'm not doing this because there's any worthiness in you collectively out there. I'm doing this for my name's sake, and also I'm sick and tired of listening to the talk of the nations. Oh, they were God's people. They were kicked out. Blah, blah. I'm glad I'm not God's people. And blah, blah, blah. All the chatter, whether it's academic or just stupid people running their mouths. So again, millions or billions of Jews who remain unbelievers cannot overthrow God's purpose to ultimately reinstate them to preeminence. 25, God will not revoke his choice of them and will be vindicated in their final restoration. When they are brought back into the land as believers and reestablished in the kingdom of God, they will resume and step up and represent God before the nations during the 1,000 years. Whatever is beyond that, okay. But for the 1,000 years, they will be doing it at a level like the likes of which they never did in their history at their best. And that's the new covenant with Israel, which we touched on this week or last week. So God will not revoke his choice of them and will be vindicated in their final restoration. So Israel remains beloved for the sake of the fathers, e.g. founders. Jews who end up as unbelievers in their true Messiah will suffer the eternal consequences just like anyone else. Romans 2:9. There will be tribulation. See, this is a sobering verse. This is the afterlife for the unbeliever. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does the evil. I'm giving you the literal Greek. There's a definite article in there. And the evil is the unpardonable sin, rejection of Jesus Christ, who does the evil. And in order to do the evil, a person has to die in that state. They can be like Paul at first and won't believe and all the rest of it. And of the Jew first, and also of the Greek, representing the Gentile world. 2:28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Genetics. Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. It is simply a representation of a reality that the individual Jew has or doesn't have. An inner reality. He can have the outer mark, circumcision, but he doesn't have the inner reality, isolation of the STA. See Doctrine of Circumcision for the details. Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, but the spirit, not by the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You did the right thing. You believed. 28. Paul concludes this by asserting that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, meaning that all that has been promised to Israel under the conditional covenants will be upheld. Land, real estate, the whole ball of wax. And since I got to go to the bathroom real bad, this class is over.